Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get your feet on the floor, get out of bed, and get out there and fire up a grill or smoker, even a deep fryer, because you know what? You need a little practice for Valentine's coming up next week, and you might as well perfect your science before you have to perform for mama. So make it happen. I'm Job. Barbecue Bob's on sabbatical. We're going to be talking to him a little bit later. He's down in the Caribbean. He's out there just enjoying life and camping on a beach. So we'll be talking to him. But joining me again this week, thank you so much, is Chef Andrew Smith, a culinary genius that is sitting in the chair beside me. And we even got another little treat for you. We've got another brother Smith. And I bet it's from the same mother, though. Right, Drew?
Yes, it would be the same mother. Different father.
Right.
No, just kidding. But thanks for the kind words. And yeah, we've got my younger, smarter brother, Mike, here.
Don't forget, better looking.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But here's the deal, is Mike just isn't here for his good looks, because Mike is actually a sommelier. And what that is we're going to have him tell you what it is, because I think I know, but because he is one, we're going to let him do that first. But before we get to that, Drew, you and I were, after the show last week, it was Saturday, Super Bowl was on Sunday. We both had a little treats that we went back and prepared for Super Bowl. You out-chefed me, as I knew you would, and you made a brisket. And brisket is a barbecue thing, but I want you to just break this down for the guys and ladies that are out there. Tell us what you did with that brisket, because it never touched the smoker.
No, it didn't. And the reason I did that on Super Bowl was it was a little bit too cold to try and keep that temp going on the smoker. So couple days beforehand, I had taken a whole slab of bacon and braised that down to make pulled bacon, basically like pulled pork or, you know, pulled brisket. But you just braise it down until it starts to fall apart. You pull it out and shred the bacon up, and you can use it wherever you want to.
So when you braise that, for people that don't know, that's a process where you're putting a piece of slab bacon. It's not sliced bacon.
Nope.
Slab bacon.
Slab.
And you're putting it in a liquid, right?
Yep. I'm putting it in a braising liquid. I used a little bit of cider, some chicken stock, and herb spices that I wanted to use in that. Braise the slab of bacon down until it just started to shred apart. And then what I'm left with is this liquid that I call a bacon fumé, because when you drink it, it's like drinking liquid bacon.
Can that be wrong, Michael? I mean, there's got to be a wine to go with that, right, Mike?
There is absolutely a wine to go with that, and that is so wrong, it's right.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, we had to eat, you know, pulled bacon for a few days at our house, which my wife doesn't mind, and either do the, you know, friends who stop in to grab a bite to eat.
Right? Yeah, but notice he called his little brother to say, hey, by the way, I got this going on. You want to stop by for dinner?
Right.
He refused, but that's okay. So I had that bacon fumé left over, and then I had a brisket that I took and put a rub on, let it sit overnight. And the rub was basically a little bit of sugar, some ground coffee, smoked paprika, chili powder, garlic, onion, you name it, whatever you like to put in your rubs. I rubbed that on the brisket. I just did the point of the brisket, wanted it smaller so it would fit in my oven, and let it sit overnight, and then I seared it in the pan. When I got done searing both sides, then I deglazed it with a little bit of red wine, a little bit of apple cider vinegar to give my acid to help break down that meat, and then a little bit of brown sugar, and then I put that bacon fumé, that bacon stock in there, covered it, and then threw it in the oven for about two and a half hours, and I'll tell you what, boy, you wouldn't miss the smoker at all on that. And I know you tasted it the other day at the house.
Right, right, I did, and it was fabulous. I mean, different than any other brisket I'd ever had, and that bacon fumé, I kind of like that term. Maybe I have my license plate. I mean, just fumé.
Fumé.
Yeah.
Smoke it.
But anyway, no, it was a completely different flavor than any brisket I'd ever had. Delicious, as you would expect, but interesting that there's just many, many ways, as everybody knows, to put this stuff together. I, on the other hand, went a little on the smoker. Our friends down at Boondocks, which is a big boy toy store down in southern Grand Rapids, a little burg called Caledonia down there, halfway between Hastings and Grand Rapids. And they have a chili cook-off that they were in. They're raising money for charity. These are the reasons that we get into these things, because we can help people out and have a little bit of fun. And I think he had 16, 18 teams down there, and I became the first loser. I came in second with my chili. But evidently, the guys down there at Boondocks, because they drive hot rods, and he's got electric motorcycles down there. We'll have him on the show later in the year, and you talk about those. Those are kind of cool. But he's got hot rods and big lifted trucks and stuff is the stuff they specialize in down there. And evidently, they like meat, because the guy that beat me with the chili recipe, he didn't have a bean anywhere near his chili, nor was there much tomato in it. It was like eating a bowl of meat, man. But it was tasty if you wanted a bowl of meat.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. But, you know, Randy, you know, being the first loser, that's got to be a strange place for you to be, because last few competitions, you've basically walked away with it.
Well, we've got a good chili recipe, and I can't take all the credit for that. Barbecue Bob is the one that perfected it, and he slowly but surely leeches the ingredients to me as I need them. And probably he left one out is why I came in second, because he wasn't in this competition. He again was on his little sabbatical. So
well, being that Bob's on sabbatical again, this time. Love to offer my assistance next time you got one of those chili cook-offs.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because I know if I call you, we're gonna put some fumé in it or something, and it'll be rocking. Absolutely. So, Michael, we're gonna tease these guys a little bit with what we got coming up, but give us a little bit of your background. You're a wine expert.
I am a wine expert. I'm a certified sommelier, so that means I'm a level 2 out of 4. Being a sommelier is a French term that used to mean cellar master at a restaurant, because before wine was ready to be consumed at the grocery store or at your local purveyor, you actually would go talk to somebody who managed a bunch of different wines from a bunch of different areas, and he would give you what's drinking appropriately. So it's kind of part of my knowledge base to know how vintages are going, what wine's at its certain peak of drinkability, and make sure that people are getting the right stuff into their mouth.
Right. Well, you know what? This is a confusing topic for me, which is why I'm really excited to have you on the show today, because we can share this with our listeners in that I've often mentioned that when you walk up to the craft beer case and you're looking at the 400 varieties in stores like Siciliano's Market over on the west side of Grand Rapids, literally 300 or 400 beers that they have in there. And it's very, very overwhelming. And we've tried to educate our listeners down to, if you look for the IBUs, the ABV, and then some styles of beer, and give them kind of families and flavors that they can understand what they're doing. Because the worst thing you can do with a six pack of beer is go in and spend $12-14, and the first time you crack one open, you hate it. And we're going to try to do that for the listeners today with the wine.
Okay.
Because I think that somebody with your depth of knowledge and understanding of it can break this down in layman's terms, because that's where I need to be with it. When I walk into a wine shop, again, Siciliano's is probably as large of a wine shop as we have in West Michigan. And there are several out there, but I just don't know what families of grapes and varietals and that I want to do. And if we can look at that based on the food that we're going to have, or maybe you could say this is a very good wine if you like sweeter wines, if you like drier wines, if you like, different regions, the dirty grapes of the Malbecs and things like that I've heard. And with Drew and you sitting here, I'm just going to kind of like push the button and let you guys roll on this thing if I can stay out of your way. But anyway, so coming up next, we're going to be talking with Michael and Drew, and we're going to touch on 3 things you need to know about choosing wine, because if you just remember these 2 or 3 things, you're going to get a long ways when you're standing in front of the wine counter. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back. As long as it was deep, yeah.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Beer City, USA.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's Garrett'sAppliances.com, Garrett'sAppliances.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orinsaugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to TheGrillinGuys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's TheGrillinGuys.com.
This is the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get out of bed, put your feet on the floor, get out in that backyard and fire up the grill or smoker because it's going to be a nice day today. We're going to be north of 40 where I'm sitting. So that's real grilling weather. Barbecue Bob is on sabbatical down in the Caribbean. Got his toes in the sand, cold drink in his hand. I'm sure that's exactly what's going on right now. So joining me in the studio is Chef Andrew Smith. He was with me last week and did such a fabulous job. Had him back, and this week he's got his little brother in tow, Michael, who is a wine expert. And basically between the two of you guys, I'm going to take about a 10-minute break here and let you guys roll. But what we'd like to talk about is pairing wine with food and things we need to know how to do that.
Excellent. Thanks, Randy. You know, a lot of lately, you know, you guys have been talking about beer with, you know, smoked foods and grilling and all that. And I myself, I'm a wine guy. I love beer, but I my real passion is drinking wine, and I like to find wines that go with everything that I like to eat on the grill or in the smoker. So I've brought my brother Mike along. We wanted to kind of, you know, just debunk a lot of things for people, make it a little bit more easy for people to, you know, decide if they want to venture into wine, how they get into it, what they like, what they don't like, and then, you know, most importantly, pairing those foods with those wines, you know. So, you know, Mike, when we're, you know, looking at, you know, having a family get together, we want to look at doing, say we're going to do steaks on a grill. You know, what do we want to look for when we're looking for wine?
Well, the first thing you need to know is that whether you want white or red, and usually red meat lends itself to red wine. More importantly, if you want something that's a little bit more fruity or a little bit more dry, on the other side, that fruity could go along with sweetness if we're talking about white wine. If we're talking about steak, generally the home run and a half is something like Malbec or Cabernet, because when you think of things, as Andrew taught me through food and wine, that you want to match fats with acids. Think about it as a teeter-totter. You have a fat in one hand, you have an acid in the other. That teeter-totter has that fulcrum in the center, so you want to balance that out. So if you've got a lot of fat in that dish, you need a lot of good acid in that wine. That balances it out, and that home run and a half, when you're talking about red meat and red wine, being whether Cabernet or Malbec, you get those smoky charred notes in that red meat along with those peppercorn notes, and that ties together with that kind of smoky peppercorn note that you get in Malbec and Cabernet.
So probably a lot of listeners are comfortable going out and finding beers because Jop and Bob have talked about, you know, IBUs and ABVs and all this, and, you know, what an IPA is, what a stout, porter, all that. Maybe they're not so you know, familiar with, you know, picking out wine. How do they get into that comfort zone, you know, for the first time, you know, entry-level wine buyer? How do they get introduced into wine, and what do you recommend they do when they want to go out trying to source wine and where to go?
Well, generally, you can source wine the same place you're sourcing your beer at, but just make sure you find somebody you're comfortable with, that you can talk to them about the wine or what you're looking for, or a good place just to start down the path. When you look at the shelf in any wine shop or any grocery store, it can be very daunting and relatively overpowering. So if you can go to a place that has a specialist or a beverage person on staff that you can say, hey, I want to start tasting wine, or I want to start buying wine. This is what I like in beer. This translates to wine. And he'll guide you, or she will guide you down that path. The important thing is just to start walking.
So, Michael, what are the two or three things? Because if I'm walking in as a novice, I might be a little embarrassed because I don't know the lingo. I don't know really what I'm asking for, other than, you know, we all drank Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill when we were a kid, when we could steal it from the mom and dad's refrigerator, right? But other than that, that's the real wine is what I'm talking about. Is what are the two or three things that if you could teach me that I should ask about or be prepared to answer if somebody asks me?
Okay. Number one question is, are you having it alone or with dinner or with food?
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, do you want to go white or red? Third question would be to answer if you want sweet or dry. And generally, people are going to lean in the beginning towards a little bit more sweet or fruity style of wine because that's just what your palate's accustomed to. If you look at any mass-produced food generally on the grocery store shelf in the top three ingredients, sugar is going to be found in there in some way, shape, or form.
I see. So our palates have been conditioned for sweetness, so that translates over into the wine.
Absolutely.
Interesting. So the food part about that then is, so am I drinking it alone? Let's go down that road a minute. If I'm drinking it alone, yeah, that my answer is yes. So then what are the next questions that I might get asked?
So the next question you're going to get asked is, are you thinking of something red or white? Where do you want to start? Most people start white. Red wine is generally a little bit harder to wrap your head around when you're just starting down that wine path. But there are some people who naturally gravitate towards that, and if that's the way it works, more power to you. Right. But generally, most people start white and sweet. So if you're drinking alone, you answer you're drinking white wine, Randy, because you're maybe doing some pre-gaming before you get the grill finished up with whatever you're doing. Something just nice, light, and easy would be good. Something like maybe a Sauvignon Blanc if the heat's on, something refreshing and crisp, or something like Pinot Grigio.
Right. Sweeter, lighter wines. Chilled, generally?
Chilled.
White
yep.
wines are chilled?
Well, both white and red should not be room temperature.
Okay.
When people say red wine should be room temperature, they're talking a room that's about 55 degrees.
Yeah, that room inside my beverage refrigerator.
Exactly. Right, yeah. Same place you keep your meat, you should keep your wine.
Right. Okay, I remember that. There's probably an axiom there, a life right there.
Yes, there is.
So anyway, Drew, we understand now if we're going to pair it with food, we talked about a steak. Are there wines that are stay away from or you only have with certain kinds of food that complement one another? Let's go down that road because you hit cabs and you hit Malbecs, but there's a lot of other red and white varietals out there, right?
There is. And, you know, it all really depends on what you enjoy. There are some hard and fast rules per se, but if you don't like what's in your glass, it's not going to help you out with your food, and it is not going to complete the evening or experience you're having. And that's what wine should really do. It should totally complete and close that circle of the people you're with, the food you're eating, the time you're having with them, and just the overall enjoyment of that moment.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we've had get-togethers at our house where, you know, we'll have, you know, 10, 12 people over, and you know, I'll put together a menu that I think I want to do, and all of a sudden we start out with little Prosecco or champagne, and, you know, come to find out by the end of the evening, the only thing we've drank is Prosecco the whole night long. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, you know?
Right.
You drink what you like, and then you start experimenting with it, and you find out what you like to drink with certain foods. But generally, you know, there's certain things that just are natural pairings together, you know? You know, grilled chicken with a nice big fat buttery Chardonnay, if you did a fruit salsa on it, or, you know, even a grilled fish on the grill with, you know, just a nice light lemon butter sauce would be perfect with one of the first wines that we're going to be tasting here on the radio today.
So that's a great segue, Drew. Uh-huh. What do we got?
So what we have is Principesse Agave. This is a little bit farther down that path. I wouldn't call this a beginner wine because, first of all, it's from Italy, and Gavi isn't a grape, it's an area. Cortez is the grape. The Italians are kind of like the French. They want you to learn about their culture, learn about their area. They're not going to give you all the information on the front label. So this is a really crisp, clean, white wine that comes from the area of Gavi that's just north of Rome on the coast, on the the Ligurian Sea coast, which is kind of north of Rome and just east of Nice.
So you not only got to know the grapes, you got to know your geography.
Well, you don't have to know the geography, but it helps when you go there to experience the food, because these wines have been matched up with the food that they do locally for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And that's truly what makes that area special. So this is crisp and clean and light, and it's got some nice minerality to it. This, if you're doing grilled scallops out on the grill, maybe a little bit of that shredded bacon on top of it, and I'm thinking some kind of Parmesan little cream dollop right on the top of it.
And again, this is what varietal of grape? If I was to go to the store, what am I looking for?
Cortez.
Okay. A Cortez, and that's an Italian wine.
It's an Italian grape, yep.
The wine being called Gavi, though. And I love that Mike brought this wine because it's one of my go-to favorites in the summertime. If I'm doing, you know, grilled mahi-mahi with a fruit salsa, or if I'm doing, you know, swordfish or whatever on the grill, any type of, you know, firm fish that, you know, is going to have a little bit of structure to it, this Gavi with the acidity and just like Mike said, the minerality of it really goes great. Grilled shrimp with, you know, a tangerine, you know, citrus glaze works awesome. So I just think it's a great pairing, and it's a great wine that a lot of people don't know about. But if you go in a wine shop and just say, you know, hey, I'm looking for a nice Gavi, you know, try it out. You won't be disappointed.
Great seafood is what we're going to be talking about next. We're going to be going down south to the Caribbean and chatting with Barbecue Bob. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Fresh, artisanal, and awesome is what I expect with beer and food. At Arcadia's downtown Battle Creek original brew pub, it's authentic wood-fired cuisine and artisanal ales. At Arcadia Brewing Company's new Kalamazoo Riverfront Brewery Pub and Kitchen, it's those same ales and real deal barbecue. This is Tim Surprise from Arcadia Brewing Company, and as always, please savor the flavor responsibly.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the grilling guy show.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's the weekend. Get your feet on the floor. Get out of bed and get out in your backyard and fire up a grill. Where I'm at, it's going to be north of 45 degrees today, so there is no reason for you to not get out there and make that happen. Hey, if you're just tuning in, this is Jop, and Barbecue Bob is on sabbatical. He's down in the Caribbean, man. And joining me as a co-host is, same as last week, Chef Andrew Smith. Andrew, it's we've been having a little bit of fun today. We're talking a little bit of wine today and a little bit of food to go with wine.
A little wine, a little grilling, a little smoking.
Right. And speaking of winers...
And smokers.
We've got Barbecue Bob on the line from somewhere in the Caribbean. Welcome, man. How you doing down there?
Hey, easy, brother.
Yeah.
I got my posse here. We're all set.
You doing any smoking down there?
Just those Cuban cigars, so I'm sure. Yeah.
So I have a great go-to guy here. He runs the bar and restaurant right at our little resort here called Ivan's Stress Free Resort. And his name is Shamari Shinnery. It's not good to try and say that after you've had a couple of his drinks because he makes a pretty strong one. But I want him to tell you real quickly how to make a really great local drink, and this is Shamari.
All right.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, excellent. We're good. We're good, Shamari. Tell us what the name of the drink is, and then tell us what's in it.
Well, the name of the drink is called a painkiller, right? And we also got the Ivan Stress Free Punch, which is our signature drink at Ivan.
Okay, so are you going to do a painkiller, or you're doing the Ivan's Punch? Which one are we going to hear about?
I'm going to tell you about both of them. It doesn't matter. I'll give you what you want.
So,
all right, well, in the painkiller, we use dark rum. I mean, we use our paradise rum, but dark rum. It's orange juice, pineapple juice, and cream of the cocoa, which is Coco Lopez.
Okay.
Right, and then we put a little splash of Myers on top.
Oh, grated sure.
Nutmeg. And some grated nutmeg, fresh grated nutmeg.
All right. Is nutmeg a local spice there in the islands?
Yes, nutmeg is a local spice in the island. All the bars use it, and it makes the drink taste real good.
Yeah, so... Yeah, Bob. That was Bob in the background. I second that. Yeah. So what's the other one, the specialty punch there?
The special Ivan's Stress Free Punch, it's dark rum, same. Fruit punch mixed with guava. And then we put a little splash of Myers as well. Same nutmeg. And then basically put a little fruit and stuff on it. You know, pita it up a little bit. Give you that island feel. You get the island feel.
Sure, I'm getting the island feel. You know, we've got snow on the ground up here. You probably are not familiar with that substance, are you?
No, you can have the snowflakes. We have the seashells.
Yeah, that's great. Well, hey, Shamari, I'm sure you're the consummate bartender, but I don't want to break it to you, but it doesn't take much to impress Bob as a bartender, but you sound like you know what you're doing, man.
No worries. Thank you very much, man. Appreciate
Bob, you're going to have to bring those recipes back up here, and we'll try those out up here.
All right, baby. All right, baby. Thanks. Yeah, so that's as authentic as you can get right there.
Yeah.
Shamari, man, he's a good man, and he's been taking good care of us.
So Bob,
a whole bunch of great people here.
So, Bob, tell the listeners, where are you?
Well, it's called the BVI, British Virgin Islands, and there's a whole bunch of them down here. But as I look out across the bay right now, I'm seeing St. Thomas.
Okay.
And it looks like about 10 miles away, 8 miles away. And my buddy Craig from Lancaster, PA, is on a boat coming across here right now to pick us up, and we're going to take him to a couple of spots here. There's two very famous bars on this island, and the Soggy Dollar is one of them, so we're going to hit the Soggy Dollar first, and that's where the Painkiller was made famous.
Oh.
And then we're going to take him around over into the Big Bay, and there's another place over there that's very famous. I can't think of the name right now, of course.
But, sure.
So we're going to spend the day hopping around the island.
Well, it sounds like, what have you been down there, 4 or 5 days now?
I've lost track. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, good for you. Vacation's working good then if you've lost track. But sounds like to me you've become from tourist to tour guide. So maybe you've visited these places already, right?
Yeah, we've been all over. Yesterday, I sent you some pictures. We hiked over the mountain, over the island to go to the bubbly pool. And those pictures I sent you were from the top of the mountain here. And I had a 4-hour forced march.
Yeah.
It was torture. Torture.
But, so you've been doing any good fishing that you've been throwing on the grill?
No, you know what? I'm just letting everybody cook for me. This is my vacation. I am not picking up. I did make eggs this morning.
So what's the fish of choice down there in the BVI?
Well, I had grouper last night that was to die for. It was still wiggling when they threw it on the plate. It was so fresh. There's just everything down here. Swordfish is big. Mahi-mahi, of course. I can practically see Puerto Rico. I mean, we're that close to Puerto Rico. And I know my buddy Rick Suarez from Bell's is over there right now. So we're trying to hook up to see if we can't meet somewhere while he's here. But, yeah, I'm just down here having fun. It's my buddy Carl, me, and Peggy, and my wife, Maureen. We've got our tents on the beach at this resort. There's places to put tents, and then there's some little cabins you can rent. Next year, if I come back, I'd probably rent the cabin. It'd be much easier. But I'll tell you what, to wake up to have waves right up at the door of your tent is so cool.
Yeah, sounds like you're having a good time. Well, hey, bring back some of those good recipes. And you know what? If you find something unique down there, as far as other than the nutmeg in the top of a Myers rum, because it sounds like he named two famous drinks and they both had the same topper on them. So it sounds like that might be something consistent with the drinks you're drinking.
It's on everything. And I'm definitely bringing back a bottle of my newest find. And we'll talk about that next week.
Oh, all right. You're keeping that. That's the cliffhanger, huh?
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Thanks to the Smith brothers. Appreciate you filling in.
No problem. Anytime you want to leave, we'll fill in. Not missing you, Bob. I'm sorry.
Well, and Drew, we got to plan that birthday party too, buddy.
That's right. Yeah. You know, the 50-50 right. Party.
Yeah.
I think I found a place for it here.
All right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, I'll just go down to the islands. That's a plan.
Yeah.
All right. Very sounds good.
All right, Barbecue Bob, be safe. Enjoy the rest of your vacation, brother, and we'll talk next week when you get back.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome.
Take care.
Oh, Barbecue Bob, making me jealous, man. I guess you're never supposed to be jealous of any of your buddies. You know, you're just supposed to be grateful and glad that they're enjoying life. But, yeah, he's down there in the British Virgin Islands, been there for about a week now, and I asked him how long you've been there. He goes, I don't remember. So that's just a great vacation, man.
Yeah, well, with the weather we've got coming up today, you know, we're probably going to see a lot of island work. You know, closed today. Everybody getting into their shorts when it's 40 degrees here in Michigan.
Right, yeah. You know,
they think it's a hot spell.
Yeah, a little later today after the show, I've got a gig with our buddy Chaz. This is the antithesis of what we've been talking about. Our buddy Chaz from Schmoe's Brewery is on the USA ice fishing team. And here in another week or two, they're going to be headed over to Europe to compete in a world ice fishing tournament. But this week, they've got about 30 Boy Scouts out on Reed's Lake, which is a lake here in Grand Rapids area. And he's actually they're out earning a merit badge to learn how to ice fish from a guy that's on the U.S. ice fishing team. And I'm going to be sliding out there with the water on the ice, with a portable grill and doing some dogs and burgers for the Boy Scouts a little bit later today right on Reed's Lake. So looking forward to that. I don't know if I got courage enough to wear my shorts or not, but I probably ought to do it just because we've been talking about it, right?
Yeah, just keep that grill off the ice, though.
Yeah. You think so?
Yeah, I think how warm it's going to be.
Yeah, you don't care if I fall through, but you don't want to lose that tech grill, right?
No. Yeah. I like working on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is. It's a good piece of equipment, infrared. We've talked about those for years and years. It's just a different kind of heat. You don't dry out the food, and everything is wonderful. But coming up next, we're going to be talking a little bit with the little brother Smith. That'd be Michael with doing some more grilled food and wine pairings. This time we might focus in on some seafood and chicken. You're listening to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back. Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come and have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I have ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Barbecue Bob sounds like he's having a little bit of fun down there in the Caribbean. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and Barbecue Bob is on sabbatical down in the Caribbean doing a little on-the-job research, I'm sure. We're going to call it that for the tax man anyway, right? But anyway, I'm Jop. Joining me in the studio is Chef Andrew Smith, a culinary genius, and always fun to have him on the show. We dive right into the food and the science thereof, and he's brought his little brother, Michael, with him, who is a wine expert. So if you could just sit back and think about that for about 10 seconds, if you ever get an invitation to the Smith household, you got a chef and a wine expert at the same table, and these two brothers complement one another. I've had the pleasure of being invited to those dinners, and like I said, if the phone rings, you make way in your schedule because you want to go try that stuff.
Yeah, we have a lot of adopted family now in our
I bet you
group
do.
Of friends who are like, hey, what are you guys doing for this holiday? What are you doing? Is your family getting together? I don't want to go to my parents' house. Can I come to your place?
Right, yeah.
And so because of that, we actually had to go out and buy a new table the other day. My wife and I went out and bought one, and it now seats 14 people because that right. seems to be about 10 to 14 is about the average get-together at our house.
Yeah, now. And there's only six of you in the family, right? Yeah,
exactly. So it tends to get a little crazy there, but that's what, you know, enjoying food and wine and beer is all about. You know,
right.
just great get-togethers with friends and family. And I call it all family because that's really what it's all about. But, you know, what we wanted to kind of delve into next is, you know, we talked earlier about this white wine we were doing and some of the seafood and everything that you can do on the grill. But, you know, Jop, I know you're a big hunter. I'm a big hunter. I love me, you know, some duck hunting. And right. this next wine that we're going to talk about, a little Pinot Noir that I think with duck or any type of game bird. You know, woodcock, one of my favorite birds of all time to eat. And those that haven't had it, it's a true delicacy of, you know, the Midwest. And
it's about a golf ball sized piece of meat that comes off that breast, but I tell you what, it's delicious. There's four really good bites right there.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the legs on that thing are about a bite and a half each, but I'll tell you what, there's more flavor in those bite and a half than you'll ever have. So, you know, getting into this, you know, I'm going to let Mike talk about the wine a little bit, and then, you know, I'll talk about the pairing of it. Well, Mike, tell us about what this Pinot Noir is.
Let's foray into the lightest of all the red wines. This is a good gateway wine. For anybody who's drinking white wine, they want to get into red wine, but they don't like that dry, fuzzy sweater feeling that they get on their teeth from big red wine. Pinot Noir is the way to go. You've got Beckon Pinot Noir. This comes from Santa Barbara, or just north of Santa Barbara, the Santa Maria Valley. This comes actually from a very famous vineyard called the Bien Nacido Vineyard. It's where a couple of really, really great wineries are located, and they're known for making some of the best Pinot Noir and Chardonnay in the world. This has got that really nice kind of smoked cherry note, that little hint of bacon, but that really nice kind of soft Hold on, I'm going to take a quick drink. 1 second. Oh, there is that definite bacon and kind of velvet texture. It makes you think of, like, yeah, definitely duck or spatchcocked barbecue chicken. There's a lot of different things you could do on the grill with this thing. And yep. It's also a great thing to just drink on its own. It could be the thing you drink as you're rubbing your meat down. Sorry. We'll take that back. Hold on.
Right. Well, that's all right. We all do it. Right. It's part of the process.
You can't enjoy your meat unless you rub it. So.
That's right. That's right.
But, you know, Mike, you know, I think you hit the nail right on the head with this Pinot Noir being, you know, a just nice gateway entry wine for people. You know, when I think about Pinot, I think about cherry, berry, jam, you know, like you said, that bacon, a little bit of smoke. And depending on where that Pinot Noir is, it can change, you know, immensely. But I think about Pinot Noir and I'm like, man, it's just a great wine to start off with. It's easy to drink. There's not a lot of intense tannins with it. It's got a little bit of that, you know, for lack of a better term, kind of soda pop type of, you know, flavor to it. And I just think it goes really well, as the French have done with Burgundy, with all the regal game birds, you know, grouse, woodcock, duck,
pheasant.
Yeah, they've only been doing it a couple of years, so they might have got it right. You know, yeah. Eventually through trial and error.
Yeah.
But yeah, Pinot Noir is awesome that way. And it's just a really light, enjoyable red wine that you can do all summer long. Right. Because when that heat's on, you're out on that deck, you're braving those temperatures to get that grill going. You need to have something that's a little refreshing. And if white wine isn't your bag, you can definitely do a little chill on some Pinot Noir, bring the fruit out a little bit in it, and actually have something that's really nice and juicy and refreshing.
People enjoy that, and it's a sipper. I mean, this is the difference between a beer drinker, which is me, and a wine drinker, is that, you know what, a 12-ounce pour is a beer, right? But a wine is, what, typically?
Five to six ounces. Well, at Andrew's house, it's 12 ounces.
Right. Just like yeah, right. Okay, we like equality in our household, so yeah, well, beer is 12 ounces, wine's 12 ounces.
Yeah, you've got those wine glasses you can stick your fist in.
That's right.
You can fit a whole bottle of wine in that thing.
Yeah,
I've done
and
it
and
before.
That way I only have one glass of wine a day.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, how many? Yeah, that's the old Happy Days, right? Richie Cunningham, how many glasses of beer did you have? Just one, but it was like monster, right? Yeah. Oh, that goes back a ways. But anyway, so guys, this is we're on the fruity end of the red. Let's take a step in a little further. We talked about the Malbecs and the Cabs, but the Cabernets are where everybody that fancies themselves as a red wine drinker is a Cabernet drinker, right? And you just described that as the fuzzy feather. The wine might be getting to me.
Yeah, put down the glass.
Sweater, the fuzzy sweater on your teeth. So explain what you mean by that.
Fuzzy sweaters on your teeth, or that chalky feeling in your mouth like somebody just clapped blackboard erasers in your mouth, is caused by tannins. And that comes from the skins and the seeds of the grape. And it's actually a type of acid, and it actually dries out your mouth. It's tannic acid. And it gives the wine some of its structure, some of its broad-shouldered aspect. And it comes out in different levels in different grapes. Grapes are just like people. They have personality. And Cabernet generally has a lot more tannic aspect to it, kind of like Petit Verdot or any of the other noble grapes from Bordeaux. Also, Malbec has some of that as well.
So Malbec is an Australian grape or Argentina? Help me out.
No, actually, it originated in France, in okay. Bordeaux. It's one of the five noble grapes. So those five noble grapes being Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Merlot, Petit Verdot, and Malbec. And it was brought down to Argentina onto the Mendoza Plateau due to the high elevation. That grape actually mutated a little bit and grew thicker skins. And those thicker skins of what have helped that grape develop into what we know as Argentine Malbec now.
Okay, I think that I might have mutated a little bit working with Barbecue Bob over the last few years. He got some thicker skin as well, but he's not here to defend himself, so we can throw him right under that bus. But
yeah, I tell you what, after doing one event with Bob, I can say that my skin definitely got a lot thicker.
Yeah.
Watching you two go at it, it's like watching two school kids in the play yard.
Yeah. We had fun, though. That was a great tailgate, by the way.
Yes, it was.
It was a great tailgate. We had a lot of fun. But so of the grapes that are out there, if I'm back to, let's get down to the layman.
Okay.
That's there. He walks up to the wine shelf and there's red wines there. Again, the two or three questions that he's got to ask himself about red wine is
sweet or dry. And that's just as important nowadays because there are a lot of red wines out there that are fairly sweet, have a fair amount of residual sugar left in them for that millennial market and for those entry-level wine drinkers, because we don't, in the wine industry, want to turn anybody away. We want everybody drinking wine, having a good time, and that goes all the way back to enjoy what's in your glass.
So we talked about the Pinot Noir being the sweeter side. Are there others that are on that sweeter side before we get to the big fuzzy sweater?
Pinot is going to be dry.
Okay.
But it's just going to be lighter, softer. Think of it as more feminine.
That's why I like it.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't like girls? But anyway, you've got what you got in your glass right now, Jop, is a great example of something that's big, juicy, jammy. This is the ultimate in any, but just about anybody's wheelhouse of best barbecue wine. This is Zin, red Zin.
Oh, yeah.
Not the pink stuff that you put on ice.
Not its Kentucky cousin.
The real deal. Yeah, right.
So red Zin is like the home run and a half. If you're barbecuing, red Zin should definitely be on the table some way, shape, or form. It doesn't matter if you're talking about from the area Lodi where this is from or anywhere in California or even Primitivo from the south of Italy.
Yeah. Maybe in the next segment we could talk a little bit about Michigan wines, because we do have some wineries here. We're partial to Fenn Valley. They've got some a lot of varietals, I think, that they produce. But we could maybe touch on that, too, because those are things that maybe some people would like to support the local economy as well.
Absolutely.
As France and in California. But coming up next, we're going to wrap this thing up, and we're going to bring it to a close, but we might talk a little bit about Michigan wine. You listen to Grilling Guys. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Now you're a man, a man, man, man. Now you're a man, a manny, manny, man, a man, man, man. You are now a man, you're a man. Now you're a male.
Today's Man Laws brought to you by Vicky's Pasty and Barbecue in downtown Saranac. If you've not been to Saranac, you've missed a three-block town. Just east of Grand Rapids. But I tell you what, if you like pasties, this is the place to go below the bridge. They know what they're doing. Man law, appropriate for today's conversation. When you're toasting with a beer, you clank the bottom of the glass. But when you're toasting with wine, you clank the middle of the glass so that you're not up on the rim and you create a chip, or you're not down on the stem where you could snap it off. So just a little bit of etiquette coaching there from man law. What do you think, Drew? Am I spot on with that?
I think you're spot on with that, you know. One on the man law, the thing I hate the most is when people toast you by hitting the top of your beer. That's just
wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong, and that just gets you thrown out.
Right,
you
know? You're cut off.
You're cut off, you're banned.
You drink that one, you're out of here. Yeah,
exactly.
I get it. Yeah, not any fun. So let's continue this conversation. You guys are bantering back and forth here during the break, and I'm turning it over. Run with it, bro.
Awesome. So really what I'm getting to now is, really in my passion is what is the ultimate go-to barbecue wine. And in my opinion, and we'll get Mike's opinion on it, but I think it's Red Zinfandel. Red Zinfandel, because of its jammy, spicy, berry properties, tends to be higher alcohol. But because of those jammy berry properties, it's very approachable for people when you have it with food. And when I talk about food, I'm talking about the biggest, boldest flavors you can throw at it. barbecue ribs, smoked brisket, you know, grilled, you know, chicken wings, you name it, jalapeno poppers, anything that's got spice and heat and you name it, man, this wine is just going to kick it right back to the curb and you're going to want more of that, you know, because a lot of times when you start eating that hot, spicy food, your mouth goes, man, I'm on fire. I need a beer. Well, I'll tell you what, you wash it down with a little bit of, you know, big, spicy red Zin from Lodi or any of the other great Zinfandel growing areas, and you're just going to go, man, I love this, and I want more of both of them because one washes out the other.
Why is that, Mike?
Well, the reason that is because that fruit counteracts that spice. And leading into, Jop, you had mentioned talking about Michigan wines, you always want to match heats with sweets.
Okay.
Why do you think they make sweet and sour?
That's easy to remember.
Yeah, and especially all those people who, you know, maybe do a little Thai glaze on things and maybe throw some chilies in whatever. That sweet counteracts that heat. It gets that oil off your tongue and helps put out the fire. And, you know, nobody wants a fire in their mouth all the time.
I mean,
just a little bit of sweat on the brow is a good thing, but,
right.
You know. If you're starting to sweat out the T-shirt, you're having problems here.
Yeah, Barbecue Bob's doing that right now down in the Caribbean, sweating out a T-shirt, but he's not here drinking wine with me, so it sucks to be him, right?
Yeah, so we're going to finish up, actually, with a little bit of Cabernet. We talked about this in the beginning of the show, but this is a little bit of a new wave cab. This is called Ravage Cabernet. It's 76% cab. It's got a bunch of Merlot in it, about 20%. It's got a fair amount of Zin in it, too, though. So you'll notice in this, it's a little bit different than normal Cabernet. And that's the great thing. In any varietal you talk about, whether it be Cab, Merlot, Pinot Noir, there's a wide spectrum of flavor inside that varietal.
So this would be considered a blend?
No, it's actually 76% Cabernet, and that meets the minimum for the 75% it has to be considered a Cabernet.
Interesting. So not all Cabernets are made with completely with Cabernet grapes.
There's a very, very small amount that is 100% Cabernet, because with that single varietal, you only get one type of personality.
I see.
You get a little influence from where it's grown, but you by adding even 2% of maybe Syrah or Malbec to it, you totally change the flavor profile of the wine.
And these are all grape varietals that you're talking about that the vintner will put together and make their own blend, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, Jop, that, you know, when Mike was talking about just using 100% cab in a wine, you know, you only get that single personality. It's kind of like with, you know, the Smith family, you know, you get one of us together, you get one personality, but you throw all three brothers together, man, you get a trifecta of personalities that just doesn't stop.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe I only season my steak with salt, and then that'd be what I'd get, and then if I got some other seasonings, it might balance it out a little bit. Yeah.
There you go.
I'll go with that,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
It's a little less dangerous.
Yeah, but anyway. Well, hey, Brother Smith, thanks so much for sitting in with me on the Grilling Guys while Barbecue Bob is out. But you know what? It's been a great day. It's been a great show, and we really appreciate you guys making time. And you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We'll talk with you next week. Yeah.